So hello, my name is Elissa Eckenweiler. I'm working as a PhD student within the SFP 1313 on coupling free flow with portal media flow. And I'm very glad to welcome today the SFP 1313 guest Jan Nordbotten from the University of Bergen. Welcome. May you shortly introduce yourself.
Thank you. I'm Jan Nordbotten. As you said, I come from University of Bergen. And I have actually been a visitor here at Stuttgart perhaps since 2005, maybe I was here. Even 2002 was my first visit. So sometimes, I'm not going to at all call this place my second home, but I think for a very long time I've had a lot of common interests with the research here in Stuttgart in general, also a lot with Rainer Helmig. Of course, I look here behind you, there's a beautiful wall with all of the former PhD students, and they're chronological, and I can get it. At least, yes, I recognize people all the way up to the middle of the second out of five rows. So I think that there are a lot of friendly faces here that I recognize. And it's always good to be here in Stuttgart.
Okay. So when I wanted to get some information about you, I found you were, or you are, the third youngest prof in Norway and also the youngest PhD student. So how much time did it take to complete your PhD?
Well, I probably spent a bit more than a year on my PhD itself.
Okay.
So yeah.
Wow, that's very quick.
It was good times when I was young, you know, I was full of energy and full of ideas. Now, old, lost it, not what it used to be.
Okay, and at the moment you're working at the Porous Media Research Group in Bergen. What do you do exactly?
I think that for me, it's not so much about the exact scientific topic. I like to engage with people and learn about new interesting problems. Then I like to do the science that is needed to solve that problem. So we've been working on CO2 storage. These days I would almost claim this is a solved problem. Well, at least from the scientific perspective. We've had lots of interest in geothermal energy. These days we're very interested in the fluid flow in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you can call all of this porous media. But the actual scientific problem you have to solve is different. Because the scales are different, the important processes are different. Like when I was too young, when I was still a kid, the research group already existed, right? Other professors, other topics. And at the time, oil and gas was the most important thing for Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And this meant that from a research perspective, all we were interested in, not all, but mostly, was multiphase flow. And the structure of multiphase flow as it relates to geological porous media. Today, we're interested in fluid flow in the brain. And there is not multiphase flow. Well, if there is, you will die. So we can be pretty sure it's single phase flow. But now we have a soft tissue. So we can no longer assume that it does not deform.
Mm-hmm.
And we're interested in a tissue that is not structured by geological processes happening millions of years ago, but by a body that created the porous media for the purpose of the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So the porous media is not some random object that we happen to flow in. It is the object that constructed the flow. So and all the assumptions we had on pore structure for geological porous media, all of it is invalid for the body.
Yeah.
So we have all these new problems. So we have to solve new problems with new equations, with new ideas, and this to me becomes exciting.
Yeah. Okay, and if you say the group exists since I don't know how many years, what is new now when you think about data integration?
Yeah, I don't believe in data. No, I think that...
Especially as a... For you as a mathematician, is there any maybe numerical advantages if you use data or...?
No, the honest answer is, of course, that this has changed completely. There has always been data. The data is older than the mathematics because you first see the thing and then you make the mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
When the process was oil and when the process is geology in general, you have seismic as the primary data source and you have... maybe some other things, gravimetry and these types of things. So then we say, we are in a sense blind. No one has ever seen an oil reservoir. No one has been 2 kilometers under the ground and seen it. So you have very remote data with extremely poor quality,
mm-hmm.
that you maybe just have one seismic line of the reservoir from, you know, a year before they started developing it. Very poor data. And then you have wells,
mm-hmm.
so you have production rates.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like being completely blindfolded, to be honest. And now that when we work with the brain, we have the opposite. We can put the human in the scanner and we can scan all we want, but we can never take a sample.
Mm-hmm.
With the rocks, at least you can take a sample and put it in the lab. With the brain, you can't just take a sample. The moment you take it out of the body, it's not brain anymore.
Yeah.
Then it's just like dead flesh that is rotting.
Yeah.
So the type of data we have has changed completely. And also the quality has changed completely. And the purpose of using the data has changed. So I think it's exciting. Like, we're doing a lot actually with real brain data these days, which interests me in very many different ways than it did when we were looking at the rock.
Yeah.
To a large extent, because what I mentioned, that the brain flows to flow. The rock happened to be there because that's how the rocks fell down, and then we flow in it. So there's a much stronger use of mathematical models in understanding the data than it was with the rock. So yeah, data is like every other part of the puzzle. It's interesting in its own ways, and the way it is interesting changes with the application.
Yeah, because data integration is a very important point in SimTech here in Stuttgart. And are there any cooperations between your university and the SimTech or the SAP 1313 yet? Or are there future plans?
I think that one has to give Rainer Helmig a lot of credit here. About 10-15 years ago, he, together with Majid Hassanizadeh, also the late Magne Espedal in our group, and others, formed the NUPES collaboration, which is this, let's say, international training network center. Well, it has had funding, it has not had funding, it has been goodwill, it has been concrete things, yeah? And this now, in a sense, I think a lot of the legacy of that is brought into the new SFB. So our university is, of course, not a formal partner, but I think our long-standing collaboration, I'm here today, already in 3 days, on Sunday, Florine Radu, my colleague in Bergen, he's coming here to give a short course next week. He's bringing two of our students. I feel like we always have students from Stuttgart and Bergen, and this is the important thing. You know, I don't care so much about these international agreements where the rector, you know, says that we will be partner universities. This makes no difference to me. But having like exciting people visiting us, and for me being able to come here, this is the fun part in the science.
Okay. And last question. Yesterday in your presentation within the SimTech colloquium, I saw you're using Gothic letters. For which reason do you do that?
That is a very good question. For me, when you write, or when you talk, or you give a talk, this is all about communication. And when you communicate, you have to realize that the person you're talking to usually does not understand at all what you're saying, because they have their own background, their own training, their own frame of mind. So they do everything they can to understand by putting your words and images into their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you see the world through your own lens. This means that if I show you something that's familiar to you, you will immediately adopt and say, yeah, I understand this, I worked on something similar, and you will put it into your frame of mind.
Yeah.
So if I want to tell you something and emphasize the fact that you should not try to think that this is familiar to you, because
yes.
What I'm showing you now is really different from what you've learned,
Then
I need to also use notation that is really different from what you know,
okay.
So that you don't mentally assimilate it too easily. So in that talk, I specifically chose unusual notation to avoid you making associations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a trick of communication.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay. Thank you very much. And I wish you you enjoy the next days in Stuttgart until you're tomorrow. You're here.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And the weather is beautiful. It was snowing
earlier
today. I like this.
So
yeah,
I wish you good 2 last days. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.